And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and he went into Capernaum. Now a certain slave boy, who belonged to a centurion and was very dear to him, was sick and at the point of dying. And the centurion, on hearing of Jesus when he came into Capernaum, sent to him some of the elders of the Jews, begging him to come and heal his servant, and saying, "Lord, my servant is at the house, lying paralyzed, in terrible torment." And when they came to Jesus, they besought him urgently, saying that he was worthy to have this done for him, for he loves our nation, and built us our synagogue. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." So Jesus went with them. But when he was now not far from the house, the centurion in answer sent friends to him, telling him, "Trouble not, Lord, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, for which reason I thought myself unfit to come to you. Instead, speak but a word, and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man invested with authority, and have soldiers under myself, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave boy, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the multitude behind him, said, "Verily, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such extraordinary faith. And I say to you, that many shall come from the east and west, and dine with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, where there shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth." Then said Jesus to the centurion, "Go, and as you have believed, so be it to you." So his servant was healed at that hour, and the messengers, when they returned to the house, found the slave boy completely well. And the next day it came to pass that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a great throng. Now when he drew near to the gate of the city, behold, one who had died was being carried out, who was his mother's only son, and she a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. So when the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity toward her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came close and touched the bier, and those who bore him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak. And he presented him back to his mother. Then fear took hold of all, and they began to praise God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has taken notice of his people." And this story of him spread through all Judea and all the region round about. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to dine with him, and he went into the home of the Pharisee and reclined at dinner. And behold, an outcast woman of the city, who had learned that he was dining in the Pharisee's home, brought an alabaster flask of ointment and stood behind him, at the side of his feet, weeping. Then with her tears she began to wet his feet, and with the hair of her head she kept wiping them, kissing and kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. But the Pharisee who was his host, when he saw this, said to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what this woman is who is touching him, for she is a fallen woman." So Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, "Teacher, speak." A certain money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. And as they had nothing to pay with, he in kindness forgave them both. Now which of them, would you say, will love him the more? And Simon answering said, "He, I suppose, whom he forgave the more." So he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your home, you gave no water for my feet, but she with her tears has wet my feet, and with the hair of her head she wiped them. You gave me no kiss of welcome, but she, from the time I came in, has not ceased kissing and kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to you, her sins, though many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he to whom little is forgiven loves but little." And he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Then those dining with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this, who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace." Then it came to pass soon afterward that he went about on a tour, city by city and village by village, preaching and announcing the glad news, the kingdom of God. And with him went the 12, and certain women who had been healed from evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had gone 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who kept providing for him from their means. But when mighty throngs were gathering together and corning to him out of city after city, he went into a house, but again a crowd came together, so that they could not so much as eat. And his kinsfolk, when they heard of it, set out to lay hold of him, for men were saying, He is out of his head. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, He has Beelzebul, and, He casts out the demons through the prince of the demons. So he called them to him, and spoke to them in analogies, How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house is unable to stand. So if Satan has risen up against himself and has been divided, he cannot stand, but comes to an end. No one can go into a strong man's house and plunder his things, unless he first binds the strong man, and then will he plunder his house. Verily, I say to you, all the sins of the sons of men can have forgiveness, and whatever blasphemies they may have blasphemed, and everyone who shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven forever, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, He has an unclean spirit. Now therefore, while he was yet speaking to the people and a multitude were seated around him, behold, his mother and brothers arrived. And standing outside, they sent to him, seeking to speak to him but unable to reach him for the throng. And someone said to him, Lo, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But he answering them said to the one who spoke to him, Who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And when he had looked around on those who sat about him, he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brothers. My mother and my brothers are these, who are hearing the word of God and doing it. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, and sister, and mother. And he began again to teach by the sea, and having that same day gone out of the house, he sat down beside the sea. And great crowds were gathered together around him, so that he entered the boat and sat there upon the sea, while all the multitude stood on the land close by the shore. And he taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching said to them, Hearken! Lo, the sower went forth to sow his seed. And it came to pass as he sowed, that some fell upon the roadside, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on the rocky places, where it had not much earth, and it sprouted up at once, as it had no depth of earth, but when the sun rose, it was scorched, and because it had no root and lacked moisture, it withered away. And some fell into the midst of the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and it produced no returns. But some fell into the good soil, and growing up and increasing, it brought forth results, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he exclaimed to them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now when he was alone, they who were about him, with the 12 disciples, came and asked him, saying, What does this parable mean? And why are you speaking in parables to them? And he answered and said to them, Because to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the others it has not been given. For this reason I speak everything in parables to those who are outside, that looking they may see but not perceive, and listening they may hear but not comprehend, lest they be turned back, and they should be forgiven. For in them is fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy which says, Listening you shall hear, but will not comprehend, and looking you shall see, but not at all perceive. For the heart of this people has grown fat, and with their ears they have listened drowsily. And their eyes they have utterly closed. Lest with their eyes they should see. And with their ears they should hear. And with their heart should comprehend. And be turned back that I might heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they are seeing, and your ears, for they are hearing. For verily, I say to you, many prophets and righteous men yearned to witness the things which you are seeing, and did not see them, and to hear the things which you are hearing, and did not hear them. Then said he to them, Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? Hear therefore the parable of the sower. The message of the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, the sower is sowing the word. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not comprehend it, then at once Satan, the wicked one, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart, one est he should believe and be saved. This is he who received seed upon the roadside. And likewise he who received seed on the rocky places, this is he who hears the word and at once receives it gladly, yet he has no root in himself, and believes and continues only a little while. Then later, when adversity arises, or persecution on account of the word, he is caused to stumble immediately, and falls away. He also who received seed among the thorns is he who, on hearing the word, goes his way, and the cares of this world and the pleasures of life, the seductiveness of riches, and passionate desires for other things, enter in and choke the word, and it is made unfruitful, it brings no fruit to completion. But he who received seed upon the good soil is he who, hearing the word in an honest and good heart, welcomes and understands it and holds it fast, and with patience bears fruit indeed and brings forth, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Another parable put lie before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven has become like a man who scattered good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel in the midst of the wheat, and went away. So when the blades had sprouted up and produced heads of grain, then the darnel was manifest also. So the bondservants of the owner of the house came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not scatter good seed in your field? Why then has it the darnel?' And he said to them, 'An enemy did this.' And the bondservant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go out and gather it up?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the darnel you should root up the wheat with it also. Let them both grow together till the harvest, and at harvest time I will say to the reapers, First collect the darnel, and bind it in bundles to be burned, but gather up the wheat into my granary.' He also said to them, 'Now is the lamp brought to be put under the grain measure or under the couch? No one on lighting a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a couch, but he sets it on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is covered up that shall not be disclosed, nor hidden that shall not come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And he said to them, 'Take heed therefore how you listen, give attention to what you hear. With the measure that you use will it be measured back to you, and more will be given you who hear. For anyone who has, to him shall be given, and he shall possess abundance. But anyone who has not, from him shall be taken away even what lie has, that which he seems to have.' And he said, 'So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should scatter the seed on the soil, then should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow up, he knows not how, for the soil of itself brings forth a crop, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, and when the crop is ripe, he at once puts forth the sickle, because the harvest time has come.' And another parable put he before them by saying, 'Unto what shall we liken the kingdom of God, by what comparison shall we portray it? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, which indeed, when sown in the ground, is one of the tiniest seeds, but it grows up and is the greatest of the garden plants, it becomes a tree and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can come and roost in its shade.' Again, he gave them another comparison, 'Unto what shall I liken the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, till the whole of it was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke in parables to the multitude, and with many such comparisons he kept telling them the message, according as they were able to hear it. And he was telling them nothing without a parable, that there might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open in my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept hidden from the foundation of the world.' But in private he explained all things to his disciples." Kingdom Lessons to the 12, Matthew 13 verses 36-52. Jesus then dismissed the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the darnel of the field." And he answering said to them, "He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. But the darnel weeds are the sons of the wicked one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the consummation of the age, and the reapers are angels. As the darnel therefore is collected and consumed with fire, so will it be in the consummation of this age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the things that cause stumbling, and those who practice iniquity, and they will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, to hear, let him hear." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, which a man on finding conceals it, and in his joy goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, and on finding one pearl of extremely great value he went and sold all his possessions and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, which was cast into the sea and gathered up of every kind, and when it was filled and hauled up on shore, men sat down and sorted out the good into baskets, but the bad they threw away. So will it be in the consummation of this age, the angels will go forth and sort out the wicked from the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then said he to them, "Therefore every instructor trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is the master of a house, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old." Then the same day when it was evening, Jesus, seeing great crowds about him, gave commandment and said, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." So his disciples, dismissing the throng, followed him into the boat. And they took him with them as he was, and sailed forth, and there were other small ships with him also. But as they sailed, behold, a great windstorm came down upon the lake, and the waves began breaking into the boat, so that it was being swamped already and they were in peril. But he himself was in the stern, on the cushion, sleeping. So his disciples came and aroused him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." "Lord, save us." "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" And he said to them, "Why are you fearful, you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the raging of the water, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And they ceased, and there came a great calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith? How is it you have no faith?" And the men were filled with wonder and were awed beyond measure, saying to one another, "What kind of man is he? Who then is he, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" So they sailed on down to the country of the Gerasenes, which is across from Galilee. And when he stepped out on shore, immediately there met him from the city two with demon possession, coming out from the tombs, extremely fierce, so that no one could pass along that way, a man in particular who had long had demons and wore no clothes, and who lived not in a house but in the tombs. And behold, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he cried out and ran, and fell down before him and worshipped him. And he said in a loud voice, "What are you doing to us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Did you come here to torment us before the time? Before God I implore you, torment me not." For he had begun to order the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times had it laid hold of him, and no one was able to bind him, not even with chains. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains had been wrenched apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was able to subdue him, and he was driven by the demon into the wilderness, and continually, night and day, he was in the mountains and among the tombs, uttering cries and cutting himself with stones. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many," for many demons had entered into him. And he began to beg him much not to order them away from that region into the abyss. Now at a distance from them, on the mountainside, a great herd of swine were feeding, and all the demons besought him, saying, "If you cast us out, let us go away into the herd of swine." And Jesus at once granted them leave, and said to them, "Go." So the unclean spirits. Now at that time the disciples of John, and those of the Pharisees, were keeping a fast. So the disciples of John came up to him and asked him, "Why do we, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, fast often and make petitions, but your disciples do not fast, yours eat and drink?" And Jesus said to them, "Can you make the young men of the wedding party fast? Can they mourn while the bridegroom is with them? But days are coming when the bridegroom will have been taken away from them, and those are the days when they will fast." And he also spoke a parable to them, "No one sews a piece of new, unshrunk cloth on an outworn garment. For the patch pulls away from the old garment and a worse rent is made, it tears the new cloth, and the new piece does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, else the new wine will rupture the skins and be spilled, and the skins will be made useless. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, so that both are preserved together. And no one, after drinking old wine, cares, at that time, for new, for he says, 'The old is better.'" While he was speaking these things to them, a great multitude gathered about him, and he was near the shore of the sea. And behold, there came a man whose name was Jairus, one of the officials of the synagogue, and when he saw him, he fell down at Jesus' feet and worshipped him, and besought him to come to his home. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. So he pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "My young daughter is right now at the point of death. Come, I pray you, and lay your hands upon her, that she may be healed and live." Then Jesus arose and departed with him, and so did his disciples. And as he went, a great crowd kept following and thronging about him. Then behold, a certain woman who had been diseased with a flow of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians but could not be cured by any, and had spent all she had and was in no way improved but instead had grown worse, having heard about Jesus, came up in the throng behind him. And she touched the border of his garment, for she was saying to herself, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." And instantly her flow of blood was dried up. And she knew in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Then immediately Jesus, knowing in himself that the power had gone forth from him, turned about in the throng and said, "Who was touching me? Who touched my clothing?" With all denying it, Peter and the disciples who were with him said to him, "Master, you see the crowd that is pressing all around you, and yet you are saying, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I knew that power went forth from me." And he started to look around to see the one who had done this. So the woman, frightened and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, when she saw that she was not hid, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth, declaring before all the people why she had touched him and how she was instantly healed. And he said to her, "Be of good courage, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, and be well of your scourge." While he was yet speaking, there came some from the home of the synagogue official. One of them said to him, "Your daughter has died, trouble not the teacher further." But Jesus, having heard the word that was spoken, said to the official of the synagogue, "Fear not, only believe, and she shall be restored." And he allowed no one to go along with him but Peter and James' brother John. So he came to the home of the synagogue official, and beheld the flute players and the crowd making a tumult, weeping and wailing greatly and beating their breasts for her, and when he had gone in, he said to them, "Off with you. Why make a tumult, and weep? Weep not, for the maiden did not die but is sleeping." And with scorn they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But when he had put them all out, he took the father of the maiden, and the mother, and those who were with him, and went in where the child was lying. And taking her by the hand, he called to her, saying, "Talitha kumi," that is, "I say to you, maiden, arise." And her spirit returned, and the young girl rose up at once and started walking, and he directed that something be given her to eat. And they were seized with overwhelming amazement, but he charged them strictly to tell no one what had occurred. But the news of it went out into all that region. Now as Jesus went on from there, two blind men were following him, calling out and saying, "Have pity on us, Son of David." And when he had gone into the house, the blind men came to him and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus enjoined them strictly, saying, "See that you let no one know." But going forth they made him known in all that district. And as they were leaving, behold, there was brought to him a dumb man who was possessed by a demon, and when the demon had been cast out, the dumb man spoke. And the crowds were filled with wonder, saying, "Never was it so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees kept saying, "He is casting out the demons through the prince of the demons." Now the disciples of John brought him word in the prison of all these works of the Messiah. Then John, summoning a certain two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying to him, "Are you that one who is coming? Or are we to look for another?" So the men, when they had come to him, said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you that one who is coming? Or are we to look for another?'" But in that same hour he healed many from their diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and to many who were blind he granted sight. So Jesus answering said to them, "Go and report to John the things you have seen and heard. The blind are receiving sight, the crippled are walking, the lepers are being cleansed, and the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised, and the lowly are being told the glad news. And blessed is he who does not stumble because of me." Then, when John's messengers had left, he began to address the multitude concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see, a reed tossed about by the wind? No. So what went you out to behold, a man arrayed in soft apparel? Lo, they who wear the soft, fine raiment and are living in luxury are in kings' palaces. So what went you out to behold? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and much more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Who shall prepare thy way, before thee? For verily I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen a greater prophet than John the Baptist, although the lowliest in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And on hearing him all the common folk, and the publicans, justified God by being baptized with the baptism of John, while the Pharisees and the doctors of the law disregarded the counsel of God toward themselves by refusing to be baptized by him. And from the days of John the Baptist until now the kingdom of God is being preached, the kingdom of heaven is being won by storming walls of opposition, and all entering it are forcing their way. For all the prophets and the law prophesied till the time of John. And, if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the Lord said, To what then shall I liken the men of this generation? Now to what can they be compared? They are like small children, sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, We fluted to you, and you did not dance. We wailed to you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, He has a demon. The Son of Man has come both eating and drinking, and you say, Behold a glutton and a wine drinker, a friend of publicans and sinners. So wisdom was being justified by all her children.